Today's April 13th, year 2008, and it's the third Sunday after Easter. All right, in relation to the gospel, we're going to talk again, it's sort of like part two of the sermon we had last week about when Catholics should go to war, when they're to go to battle, and when they're even to physically fight against other people. Okay, and there's certain rules that we can go by that God has left us through the history of His chosen people during the Old Testament era, and now during the New Testament era, His only chosen people, Catholics. And and God gives us little rules in which we can know when is it time for us to physically fight against enemies of Christ. Okay, and there's some real basic easy rules. First of all, there has to be a just reason. That's number one. There has to be a just cause. But that's not enough even sometimes. There has to be a just cause. If it's unjust, you have no right to go to fight against anybody. And we're talking about not just wars, major wars, which are conducted by nations, but even little battles that can be conducted by just a group of Catholics that are being persecuted in any one area, or even a personal, when you may have to fight against somebody because he's harassing you, and when you do have to take up the sword and fight against that individual. All right, now, there's some obvious things here. Sometimes Catholics have to go to war for self-defense even. If your physical life is being threatened, that's a law upon the heart, okay? If your physical life is being threatened, you have a right to defend yourself. Even pagan nations and even this pagan United States of America has that rule, self-defense. But there's with Catholics too, whenever a person or a nation or a group of people are trying to compel us to sin, compel us into sinning, or compel us to place us into a near occasion of sin, we have to fight unto death, physically even. Never could we sin, never. God's law always comes above human law. And when human law and the king and the rulers or anybody tries to compel us to sin and try to make us do something that's going to make us sin, or bring us in even into the near occasion of sin, we start fighting. And we start fighting unto death. Rather to die than to sin, even one sin. Rather to die than commit one sin. That's the Catholic dogma. That's the Catholic law. So if any state or any group of people or any person, and in that case now, when you're rising up and you're physically resisting, even trying to kill that other person if you have to, the first thing is to try to subdue the person if you could, but if they have to kill them, kill them. You have to do everything in your power to prevent them from making you sin. And God will never make it impossible for you to not sin. He always protects you, you know. He will always protect you from sinning, so you don't fall into sin. He promises to give you that protection. I think that's in one of the verses. God is a protector of God preserves the souls of the saints. So if you put forth your human effort, God promises that they will never be able to compel you to sin. Never. Now the state can arrest you. Let's give an example. If they want to put you into a public schooling system where they're teaching heresies, and there's all kinds of immodesty, well, they can't ever make you go there voluntarily. They're going to have to arrest you and tie you down to the chair in a public school. And even then, when that happens, as I tell all the brothers in here, if they don't tie up your mouth, just pray out loud and disrupt the whole classroom. Pretty soon they're going to kick you out. And if they try to tape up your mouth, start banging the chair. Do anything you could to make noise and disrupt that classroom. And God will protect you from falling into their sins. Sometimes we even have to go into supermarkets when they're playing horrible rock music. Bless yourself before you go into any public place, first of all, with the sign of the cross. When you go into any public place, bless yourself. And then God will protect you from that because you're not doing that voluntarily. You need to go in there for a certain purpose. But if you go there voluntarily, you're in trouble. So there's no force on this earth or under the earth and even in heaven, because God promises to do that, can compel you to sin. Or that can compel you to go into the near occasion of sin. And when you resist people, enemies that try to come in and make you sin, you can resist unto death, and even if you have to kill them. And in this case, you don't even need any approval from a church authority or from a public official or from a religious leader. You don't need approval. You have to do that immediately. Or even Catholics, when they're out there fighting to preserve their children from being put into sinful conditions, they just do it automatically. It's like self-defense. When somebody breaks into your home, they're attempting to kill your children, you rise up and defend yourself. You don't say, wait a second, I've got to call up the policemen and the public officials and wait for it to get their approval. This is just putting down all those people that say that you always have to have the approval of religious authorities or leaders. These are circumstances in which I'm telling you when Catholics are compelled to defend themselves and they need no, the approval they have comes from the Catholic faith itself. God himself who tells us that God is to be obeyed above all things. Yeah, we have to give Caesar's due and all things except sin. And when Caesar tries to tell us to do something sinful, we rise up against it and say, no, we will not do it. You can do it. That's your problem. I'm not going to do it. As a Catholic, I'm forbidden to do it. I'm going to lose my soul. And my soul is more important than my body. You may be able to kill my body, but you cannot take my soul. The soul is eternal, and God's the one that judges the soul. And that's the thing that lasts forever, either in heaven or in hell. And that's why Catholics fight on to death whenever they try to make us commit. So if they try to come in here and try to make our, or rape our women, or pillage us, or make us look at pornography, or try to force evolution on us, or heliocentrism, or any of that, we fight on to death. We will not. We fight on to death. We don't need a pope to approve that. That's already part of our deposit of faith. That's already part of our obligation to profess the faith. We fight on to death for that. There's other circumstances, too, when you're talking about, when you look at, sometimes, you, as we always know, Catholics are in captivity, punishment for their crimes, and they have to accept pagan rulers. Even at the time when Jesus came, they were under the yoke of pagan Romans. And he said, give Caesar his due, like in our gospel reading today, to obey the king in all things except sin, for the sake of order, and so you can give good testimony as to how Catholics behave under leadership and rulership. Because a lot of times when you're under a ruler, even in pagan nations, they have to have a semblance of order, even in pagan nations. But there's times when our Lord told the Jews when they went into Egypt that you have to submit to Pharaoh. And then when it was time for them no longer to submit from Pharaoh, God sent Moses, the deliverer, in there to pull him out and then to rise up and move out and fight against Pharaoh when God fought against Pharaoh. Now, these are circumstances when Catholics can know whether you have to go to war. And here's the way, sometimes they'll say, like in the United States, all right, here's where we are. We're looking at all these public blasphemies and there's really horrible things are going on. But God has now put us Catholics, us few, the only few that I know, which is only a handful of us in the whole world. We have no army. We have no power to overthrow. We have to tolerate it. Why? Okay, from our perspective, we sit back and say, is it humanly possible for us to overthrow the government? Humanly possible. On our own human efforts. No. So the first thing you have to do is analyze, is there a humanly possible way in which we can combat these people and be victorious? Now, let's say there was, and we had enough Catholics in this country to rise up against it, and we could really overthrow them. Then we have to make that effort. Now, these are things we can do, even without God directly approving it. Now, there's other situations in which there's only, let's say, 30 of us in Mary's Little Remnant, and God comes in and says, from the human perspective, we can't overcome the world, so we have to submit and tolerate the United States. That's where we are now. So there's no way that it's not even prudent is what we say. It's not prudent. You go down to the drawing board and say there's no way we can make a dent in this. There's not enough of us. You have to sit back and analyze how many people do we have. Can we humanly resist them? But then there's another time when we have to go to war. We don't always need to have the numbers. It doesn't always have to be something that's humanly possible. Because God many times goes before you. And when God determines to deliver his people, he generally always does it when they're reduced to a small number like we are in this room right now. Us little Mary's little remnant. He reduces his chosen people to a small number, and then God goes before them and wins the battle, and that even proves in a more extraordinary way how God is our deliverer, and without God, you can't truly win any battle for the good. Even the evildoers that are winning battles, it's not for the purpose of God, you know. God's just using them to punish one another. But in that case, God then has to tell you directly from a revelation from heaven, either God, the Blessed Mother, an angel from heaven, or a saint, has to come and tell us, I know you're only 30, like he told Moses, but go into town and rebuke that mayor and tell him you're going to send fire down on the town and I'm going to burn up the town and plague the town. Then you do it. Then you go ahead and do it. Then it doesn't matter about numbers. Numbers mean nothing. But you need God's approval for that. You need the direct inspiration from God to do that type of a thing. Because if you're just going to do it on your human effort and you're praying to God and God's not telling you to go out and do that, it could be presumptuous. You're going out and doing it before God's time. God has his time when he wants people to be killed. And he has his time when he wants people not to be killed. And he gives us general rules to follow. And we have to use prudence. So if you have a whole bunch of Catholics and you prudently on a human, just humanly alone, know you cannot defeat an enemy, then don't go to war against them. Just maintain. You have to submit to the government and tolerate it. Unless God comes when you only have that small number, there's no human way out, and God directly tells you, I want you to war against them. Then we go to war. I don't care if it's just me alone. I'll go out there and go to war against the whole world. I spit in their face, and I tell them, you come at me with your pants, and the angels from heaven are going to knock out every one of you. And I'll do it, by God's will. And then one person even, one angel can knock out. When the Jews were praying, when they were oppressed by Sennacherib and the Assyrians, and they were blaspheming the God of Israel, and they prayed overnight because they didn't have any human means to defeat the Syrian army, and they didn't. They had no human means. They prayed, and one angel went out over night and killed 185,000 Syrians. So this is the way Catholics have to behave. Right now people say, well, why is Ibrini not rising up and going to war like he keeps saying? Because it's not prudent. For one reason, because I'm not going to win just by my human effort. It's totally impossible. There's only very few of us. Because I've got to wait upon the command of God. And then when God tells you to do something, you don't need the approval of the Pope, the Bishop, nobody. It's instantaneous. When Phinehas rose up against the heretic Jew, that these Jews were marrying the pagan Philistines and bringing idols into the camp, and Moses and Aaron were the religious leaders. And Phinehas saw this apostate Jew bringing the woman into the tent, fornicating with her, and he rose up, pulled his sword out, and killed both of them with his sword. But that was a direct inspiration from God. He didn't even have to wait for the religious leaders. You know, but in this case too, when Moses was called out to deliver his people, there's no way Moses could be sitting out there in the desert when he was with Jethro and his wife and his kids, and then all of a sudden thinking, you know, I'm going to go back into Egypt and deliver my people. Just me, my little self, with no army. That's not prudent. I mean, if he could do it, he would have done it, but he can't. But God appeared to him and told him, go back in and I will be with you. So these are little rules that Catholics have to follow. When is it prudent for us to rise up and strike and fight the enemy? When is it prudent for us to go out and kill the enemy? I already gave you the first rule. If they try to compel us to sin, or on your occasion to sin, and I don't care if there's only 10 of us and a million come against us, we're fighting. And you're going to have to kill every one of us, and we're going to die as martyrs, but you are not going to compel us to sin. I said it before, if that means taking Sister Marie over here, because they try to take her into the public school system, and they want to try to grab her, and they say, we're coming in next week, we're coming into your hut, and we're going to arrest her, and we're going to take her to public school, I'm going to give her a big gun, a small, but she can handle a gun, I know that. I'm going to give her a gun, and I'm going to tell her, stand out front, and we're going to all have guns, and we're going to be shooting away until you kill us. So you better arrest us when we're walking into town and shopping or something, because we're going to try to kill you. You ain't going to take us in and make us sin. God, you're not going to take us into a sinful situation or a near occasion of sin. I don't care if you send out tanks and nuclear bombs. I don't care what it is. You ain't going to do it. So I'm warning all you people to back off from us if you're going to try to get us into a sinful situation. And that's what the world is now doing with a lot of these groups that have separated in the United States on their own, and they sort of have some sense of the law upon their heart because they know about the horrible immorality in this country. And they're trying to force them off these places to come back into the United States mainstream so they can fall into these grievous mortal sins against the moral order and have feminism and homosexuality and pornography. You're never going to do that. We don't need to even have God's direct approval for it. We already have God's approval. God already told us how we're to behave in those situations. Now we're talking about another situation in which they're really not bothering us, but we want to go out and stop public blasphemy, and we want to go out and make an effort in society to knock out the evildoers and make it easier for the good people to survive, which really would be nice. If we had a Catholic army right now that was sufficiently enough Catholics in the United States to rise up, let's say even now these guys aren't really Catholic, but they can still rise up. If you got, I don't know how many so-called Catholics are even in the United States. None of them really are. But let's say you have about a million or 2 million, I don't know how many you have, or 300,000. That's considerable. You can rise up and make a big stink, you know, and it will be your job to do that if you can make a difference. But if you can't make a difference and you realize that God's got you under the captivity and there's no way for you to get out of that captivity, humanly speaking, submit to the captivity like St. Paul says and our Lord says, give to Caesar his due, tolerate, okay, and all his just laws, but again, don't obey him when he tries to tell you to do something sinful. Now, unless God gives you an inspiration, like he even gave Abraham, told Abraham to go kill his own son, you know. So when God directly tells you to do something, it's not a matter of what's humanly possible anymore. You just do it. And it doesn't matter if the whole world's coming against you. But short of a direct inspiration from God, the Blessed Mother, a saint or an angel, Catholics have to use prudence. This is a battle we're in. Any general, the Lord says in one of the scriptures, sits down and figures out, can he succeed? For instance, it'll be very stupid for us to go in town and try to overthrow one pagan art shop down there and burn the place and blow it up or something, and we end up in jail for that. Right? And then all this work that I'm putting on the internet and all the work that we can do to help save souls is all done. For what? You only blew up one shop. You didn't put a dent in the thing. You really, it's not prudent. Unless God told me to do it. And then you do it, because God has his reasons. God may want us to do something like that one day, and then have me get locked up to make an example. When God tells you to do it, the rules change on when we go to war and we go to fighting. But when God doesn't give you the direct inspiration, you have to make sure that there's a human possibility of victory, and there has to be a just reason. Catholics aren't allowed to go out there and just start killing anybody or punishing other people and beating them up. There has to be a reason. Even people that are evildoers, if they're not really obstinate, you have to tolerate them for the sake of their souls because you love them. You really do love even the evilest people in the world you love. The only reason you're going to go out there and do that is if there's a real grievous threat to some real evildoers in town that are threatened. Now, see, and even in the pagan plane, they do arrest people and still throw them in jail because they're a threat to the common good of society. People that are burglars and murderers. They do lock them up. But if our Catholic religion tells us the murderers of souls are even more dangerous than that. Okay, so you could have somebody in here that's trying to introduce, that's why we try to fight as best we could when they try to introduce into Truth or Consequences anything that is sinful, like adult bookstores, which they haven't done. They try to do it. They finally got the book, the law on the books, but it hasn't really been, no one has ever did it yet. And they say, yeah, but you can only do it out in this isolated area, but no one's done it yet. Okay, so we go and we try to fight against these laws. You get these liberal artists moving into town that have perverted art. And they're bringing in a lot of demons with them. Okay, we can only resist it as much as we could in the city council and all that. And try to do our best on that. To keep the town as pure as possible. But if we don't have enough people to go out there and really make a difference through a just war or fighting against it physically even, then we have to tolerate it, avoid it, tolerate it, and as much as we could and still give Caesar his due until it becomes a human way in which we can deliver ourselves from these monsters. And that would mean if you ever got, that's why the Jews are very careful, these bad popes many years from now have been pacifying militant Catholics from rising up and taking Catholic action. What does Catholic action mean? When you have a group of Catholics and a substantial amount of Catholics that can stand up and fight, and the bad popes tell them, back off, give Caesar his due, when in that case, they should be fighting. That's how they gave up Catholic Europe, they surrendered. Because they no longer wanted to fight for the Catholic faith. What a cowardly, weak, lousy bad popes that is. I'm just telling people some examples of how Catholics, over all God's chosen people, how they regulate themselves. First of all, if you could conquer an enemy who's a threat to you, he's a neighboring enemy, he's bringing in, he's threatening you, he's threatening your security, yeah, you could go to war against him if you can humanly beat him. If you can humanly beat him and God tells you, that's the other reason you war against him. Okay, so these are little examples of when you can fight against people. Self-defense, which that's even on the books in here. If somebody breaks into your home, you can defend yourself through self-defense. But even with self-defense, you have rules. If you can subdue the guy and not kill him, subdue and maim him. Don't try to kill him if you don't have to. And then how far you go. It all depends on what the person's doing and how bad he is. The Catholic Church, when she was in power, that's why she kept her state holy and pure when she took the worst sinners. That were killing souls were obstinate heretics that were out there preaching their heresies in a Catholic state, and they would kill them. Because these guys are killing souls. But we're in a situation now where we don't have any Catholic state, we don't have any pope, we don't have any ecclesiastical authorities. Alright? That doesn't mean that we just lay down our arms and give up and stop fighting and let Satan run roughshod over us and we don't no longer have the ability to defend ourselves as Catholics. That's ridiculous. And that's not even true according to the story. If you look back in history and you had pockets of Catholics who didn't, in England even, that didn't have no more authorities to go to help them, they would still rise up and fight against the Anglicans and go in hiding and all that, in combat. So here's where we are. That's the situation in which we're up against. And that's another issue, folks. Once Catholics get control of the state, they got to fight to their dying breath to keep it Catholic. Kill us all then, bro. I'm going to fight to our dying breath to keep it Catholic. Even Franco said somewhere, a very good dictator, Franco, in Spain, he said. He says, I don't care if I got to kill almost all the Spanish people to liberate them from, if they're all liberals and perverts, what's ever left is going to be pure. I'm going to purify Spain. He even went in there and bombed down one of those towns where they have those modern artists like Picasso, those perverted pigs, those immoral, heretical monsters straight out of hell with their modern art. He blew up a whole town of them people. And that's why all the people hate him today, all these perverted artists can't stand these people because they were fighting against the cause. And he came out and says, I don't care if I got to knock out half the population of Spain. I'll do it. But I'm going to purify it. So you know, when you have a Catholic country, the rules change even. But now the rules are flipped on us because our forefathers, our so-called Catholic forefathers, were either bad Catholics or only nominal Catholics. And because they were so bad, God punished us. And we're in exile now in the United States. So it's not prudent for us to go out there and start killing the major evildoers right now. Not prudent, humanly speaking, because then you're going to put yourself out of commission when there's a lot of other good work you can do helping other people. I'm talking about killing the top dogs. You know, the Larry Silversteins and the Abraham Foxmans and the head of the Federal Reserve Board and the President of the United States, all these big shots that are really perverting people and Cheney and all these guys. It's stupid to even try. We have to submit to these guys because there's no human way we can overthrow them unless God told us. Unless God told us, go in there and kill one of them, punish one of them, hurt one of them. It's a done deal. I'm not even going to blink. Prophesize against them that God's going to, God, it's a done deal. I'm done if God says it. If he doesn't, you got to be prudent. You got to tolerate it, and you still got to pray for them, and you still got to love them, and you got to pray for the conversion. You still got to rebuke them, because it's another thing. God knows when a soul is ultimately obstinate. All right, also, and when he wants to lay down the law on it. But the idea of liberating yourself from a pagan oppression, you have to first of all be prudent. Is it possible from the human perspective? If not, submit to that yoke, like our Lord tells us, in all things except sin. Unless God then intervenes, like he always does. This is what God's doing with us right here, is he reduced us to a small number, so that when he gives us the victories, everybody's going to know it's not by force of arms. There's no way we could even make a dent in this steel beast, which the United States is one of the beasts mentioned in the book of the Apocalypse that brings the true beast to power in Israel. Who can make war against the beast? Who? All right. Well, we could. Spiritually, is the war we're winning right now. They can never defeat us spiritually. And then we're even going to start to beat him up temporally. He's not going to be able to get us if we stay faithful. It's in the book of the Apocalypse. There's a small group of Catholics that are going to resist the Antichrist, calling down plagues from God against the evildoers, so they're going to hate us. If we stay faithful, it's a done deal. It's in the scriptures that's going to happen. But I'm letting people to know how we deal with this evil empire out there. Okay, we tolerate it because there's no human way we can fight against it. Until God tells us to start making strikes in particular areas, and then we have to go out and do that. If there's any human prudence that we can make a victory somewhere, then we do put out our effort, even if it means physically fighting. But at the same time, when we're under this oppression, we have to pray for all these people, which is where we are. We really, my prayer is that I believe it may happen, I hope it does, that we're going to convert many people in Truth or Consequences and in New Mexico, and God may use this as a home base. There's going to be miracles here. Even in the United States, we really want, God knows who he wants converted. But at the same time, that doesn't mean we sit back and just accept these gross evildoers. Right now, we can do the best thing and the most important thing against them, which is denounce them, condemn them, rebuke them, and warn people about them. Okay? And let people know that, no, God is not asleep, even though he's ignoring you for a while. God has turned his back upon the whole earth and put them under the aimless curse because they're worthy of being punished. And there is going to be a time when God is going to show his power. Through us, if we stay faithful. But this also is a warning against some of these people that are saying maybe be overly rambunctious or like even the Sons of Thunder when they wanted to go out and kill somebody before it was time. And God says, no, not yet. I want to save that person. But then there is a time to kill. There's a time not to kill. There's a time to go to war. There's a time not to go to war. There's a time to battle and time not to battle. There's a time to physically fight against a person and there's a time not. And I gave you some easy rules that are standard rules for God's chosen people for all times. If ever they try to compel us to sin or compel us to go into near occasions of sin, we fight physically. On to death if it means death. And on to killing them if it means killing them. That's rule number one. We don't need any ecclesiastical authority to prove that. And God doesn't have to directly approve it. He already did. God already told us what to do. You know, we don't need a pope in our presence to tell us how to behave and profess our faith and act as Catholics. If we want to try to defeat an evil government or an evil system, we have to first sit down and see if it's humanly possible from the human perspective. If not, be prudent, submit to the yoke, and accept it as a punishment from God. And pray for God to deliver you from that yoke. Now, short of human effort, then you can go to war only if God then directly inspires you, or the Blessed Mother, or a saint, or an angel. Then you go to war. And it doesn't matter how many people are up against you. These are the most wonderful wars of war, if you ask. I love these the most. You know, when God defeats a multitude of unbelievers with just a handful of people, showing that these people could have done this on their own. It's their God helping them. If people don't even realize, there's no, even out there, God's allowing these evildoers to war against them, but he's using them to punish one another. Right now, what does it really tell us? We sit back and go, you know, the Jews are the most evil of the all. They really are. The Israelites are on the top rank of evildoers, bringing Antichrist to power. But when you look about what's going on in the world today, the democracies and the United States is right under the Jews, the Masons. And then you have Muslims who are evildoers too. So really, what do you have? You have Muslims fighting Judeo-Masons, and you have the Muslims fighting the Jews over in Israel. and they're all evildoers, shedding one another's blood, killing one another, raping one another, pillaging from one another, destroying one another, and you're all worthy of it. Every one of you is worthy of it. But it's still our job to point out who the biggest bad guys are, and hopefully then you can get some of these good-willed non-Catholics, Muslims maybe that are out there right now, even the Masons that may be questioning their Masonic allegiance. And there is, we know the Jews, every man, no matter how bad he is, he has a free will. And he can convert. Even a Mason, no matter how bad a Mason is, he can convert. I don't care how bad or deep you've been into a secret society, you could sit back one day and realize that what you've been doing is wrong. The Jews know that, because they even said in the Protocols of Zion, we created the Masons and then the Mafia. And then when we no longer need them, we're going to remove them because they can become dangerous to us. Because they still have a free will. They can rebel and say, you know, I'm sick and tired of serving the Jew. I know we really are. And that's why they have it right in their own protocols that any Mason gets wise with them, they're going to blackmail them or kill them. And it happens all the time. The Clintons and the Bushes, they know what I'm talking about. Oh, yeah, you guys know because you know it. You're right there firsthand experience of Jews in. As soon as Bill Clinton went against a Jew by not meeting Benjamin Netanyahu in the airport because he wouldn't meet him and the planes were right in the same airport, I said, he's dead. You don't shun the leader of the Jewish state. Yeah. Apostate Jewish state in politics or you're dead. The very next day, the Monica Lewinsky thing came that was made public. And not only in the United States, it went out through the whole world. It was a global thing. And I said, wait a second, are you telling me that you Jews didn't know that he was fooling around with this Monica Lewinsky long before that happened? It was a little piece of blackmail they were hanging over his head like a guillotine. Yeah. And if the minute Bill Clinton shunned the Jews, they put the sledgehammer down on him. And as soon, and it got big, man. It was giant. I said, look, all the politicians are committing some type of fornication, and they all have the information. Why are they doing this now to Bill Clinton? Because he shunned the Jew. And then as soon as he caved in and gave the Jew what he wanted, they backed off and you didn't hear about it no more. They were even going to impeach him. Yeah. Well, they may as well impeach everybody in Congress because you're all fornicating one way or another. And then even George Bush Sr., when he didn't go to war in Kuwait, they were going to impeach him because he wasn't going to go to war. I remember that. Joker, look at your history books, pal. Yeah, because he resisted the Jewish power that wanted to go after Saddam Hussein back then in Kuwait, when he controlled Kuwait. And he wouldn't go. All of a sudden, he was up for impeachment. Then all of a sudden, he says, okay, we're going to go to war to Kuwait. The impeachment charges were dropped. Yeah. What's going on here? Yeah. You see? Even these Mason guys, I'm saying, as bad as they are, the George Bushes, the Clintons, maybe I'm trying to talk to you guys. Wake up, you knuckleheads. Don't let the blackmail affect you. Jesus will forgive you of all your sins, no matter how ugly and evil they are. We all have dark sins in our past, most of us, in today's society. There's very few of us that grew up in today's society without dark, evil sins in our past. So what? If you serve the true God, blackmail's not going to hurt you. Don't be afraid of these Jews, I'm telling you people out there. I'm telling you to come into the true Catholic Church, and the Catholic God is the only one that can liberate you from that. Even these Mafia guys that wanted to get out of the Mafia knew that the only way they can get out is by taking sanctuary in a Catholic place, where the Catholic God is granting them protection. There's no other way out. The Catholic God is the only way out. Even you Jews that are ruling the roost over there, even you can convert. Even you big shot Jews who have a turn of heart because you begin to realize that you don't like what you're doing. You begin to realize the law upon your heart starts indicting you, that you're sick and tired of lying to people. You're sick and tired of cheating people. You're sick and tired of going out there and perverting things, all right, and turning the order upside down in the world. You begin to realize there's something wrong. There's hope for anybody who's still alive in the world today. But my point is on that, though, our resistance against these people and our rebuking and denouncing them is your only hope to salvation, along with primarily God's grace and our preaching, because faith cometh by hearing, by hearing the word of God, Romans 10:17. And if we don't preach and if we don't denounce, there's no hope of salvation. Jesus said that. Our job is to sow, to preach. No one's been doing it for hundreds of years the proper way now. To these people, and that's why the world is so out of hand. No, they deny the salvation to all men, promise all these evildoers salvation. But I'm just giving people out there what rules you can look forward to as to when to fight and when not to fight, when to physically go out there and when not. And my point in all that was being too, when God knows when He wants us to take action, you know, you may go out there and end up killing somebody who God doesn't really want killed because He still has hope for salvation. But these are the rules. You follow these basic rules, and you can be guaranteed of one thing. God promises, it's in Psalm 93, one of the Psalms, God preserves the souls of the saints. And it's in also 1 Peter 2:9, God delivers the godly from temptation, but reserves the unjust unto the day of judgment to be tormented. And another place that God is the protector of those who seek Him in truth. He even protects these goodwill non-believers and can let them live long enough to come into the Catholic Church. So God's never going to make it impossible for you to keep His commandments. So there's no reason for us Catholics ever to sin, or ever to even put ourselves into a near occasion to sin voluntarily. Ever. 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 And there's no force on earth that can ever do that to us. You can kill my body, fine, but you can't touch my soul. Jesus said in Luke 2, 4-5, fear not them that kill the body, and after that they have nothing more they can do. I will show you whom ye fear. Fear ye him who after he hath killed hath power to cast into hell. Yea, I say to you, fear ye him. And that's our ultimate thing we have to be concerned about. And I say it again, the day you try to come in here and make us do something sinful, try to make us do something sinful, and try to make us do something that's a near occasion of sin, you're in trouble, pal. You're going to have to kill us, or we're going to kill you. You want to kill us? Fine. We go to heaven as martyrs. That's the Catholic dogma. We die for the Catholic faith, standing up for the Catholic dogmas. Kill us all. What about that? I'd be getting out of here real easy if that happened. I don't think it's going to be that easy. I think I'm going to have to go through quite a bit more than that. But they are going to try to do it. And when they try to do it, we're going to face them down. And God will give us whatever is necessary for us to not sin or to go into the near occasion of sins. Do you realize what power would be if you had good popes and good bishops that got up there and told 300,000 Catholics in the United States, I don't know how many there are, that we're not going to do this or we're not going to do that. The Amish do it and get away with it. The Orthodox Jews do it and get away with it. The Orthodox Jews, on their Sabbath day, which is, they're still under the old completed law, these dummies, they missed the boat long ago, but in New York City and Brooklyn, they close down their streets on Saturday and nobody drives down their streets in New York City. And they don't go to public school systems. The Amish have their own farms and don't even go into military combat because it's against their false religious beliefs. And they got what they wanted. The Indians got what they wanted on the reservations. If us Catholics rose up, are we going to expect any less? They would have said, look, we can't defeat the Catholics. Their moral conviction to the religious leader is more powerful than their convictions to us in the state. We can't force them to go to public schools. We can't force them into feminism and homosexuality in these sinful situations. They're not going to listen. What are we going to do? Give them their own little ghetto, put them in the ghetto, and let them have their own rules. They're doing that in Iraq right now because they can't control the Muslims because they're more obedient to their religious leaders than their political leaders. You see how bad it is when Catholics stop fighting, and I mean physically fighting even for the kingdom, it's all over. You're no longer really Catholic anymore. It's a very quick time after that that you're just nominal Catholics running around calling yourselves Catholics, and you're not. I will not, and I'll say it again, have any chickens or cowards in Mary's camp. God will never have it. God showed me clearly when I was converting into the Catholic Church, what He hates the most is a coward. Cowardness. He abhors cowards. He said, Richard, there's no hope for a coward. None. These are the people that are indifferent, too. They go along to get along. They want to save their own behind. He cannot work with a coward. If you're overly zealous like a Jew that's over there out there even killing people, he's not a coward. There's even hope for him because he's not afraid. The Muslim has blown himself with a bomb. He's going to go to hell if he doesn't convert. But he has zeal. If you convert that guy and turn him into a Catholic, boy, you've got somebody good there. So I know the Jews. I lived with many Jews. I lived around a lot of them. I know them very well. They're zealous. You never seen anybody zealous like a Jew when they stick together. If they ever converted, oh, you got an army here. But you got these mushy, cowardly so-called Catholics walking around with their tails between their legs. Not willing to fight and die for anything. Or denounce or judge anything. They sit back and think God's going to do all the work for them. Then how is it that our Lord said that we have to go out there and sow the world and the word of God in the world? That faith does come by hearing. Yes, without God's grace, even our preaching is not going to do nothing. But still, preaching is one of the necessary elements of conversion. Without it, you're not going to do it. If you just have God's grace in somebody and he's willing to learn and no one's there to teach him, how is it going to happen if you don't preach the word of God? Like I'm preaching to all you people out in the world right now. Right? And I'm just giving all these people little things to look forward to in their future. I'm telling all you people, even you Masons and you Jews, that there's the only place where you're going to find safety, first of all, salvation, is inside the true Catholic Church. And even then, you're going to find safety from all the confusion and chaos in the world that the Jews got you under his yoke. I know he does. You know what I'm talking about. I know the yoke he's got you under. I know what the vows you made. I know the dirty stuff he's got on you. I know that'll even threaten to assassinate and kill your families because you're afraid of all these things and you want to have your luxuries. You're under his yoke. And you know what I'm saying is true. And I'm telling you, first of all, if you care anything about your immortal soul, you better get away from these bastards and profess the Catholic faith and put yourself under the care of the Catholic God, and he will protect you. He will, first of all, you'll have a chance to save your soul, and he will protect you from these blackmailing, assassin bastards that are out there doing anything to try to keep you in these secret societies. You don't, and I will tell you another thing. No man is ever bound to a vow he makes if it's an evil vow or an evil oath. It's a complete opposite. In God's eyes, you are bound to go against that vow and that oath. You are not bound to it. So I'm telling you people, when God starts showing you things in the world, you want help, come to us, come to me, email me. I guarantee you, I will tell you the help you're going to get. And most of all, he'll give you an inner peace in your soul that's in turmoil now because you've got to play all these different ends of the sticks. You're a bunch of evildoers that are backstabbing one another all over the place. The Jews invented the Masons, and the Masons invented the Mafia, and they're all, and the Communists, and they're all, and the democracies, and they're all a bunch of evildoers. Until you get yourself out of that world, when there's no hope. But I just gave you a few rules about what true Catholicism is about. And true Catholicism means we don't just fight for the spiritual kingdom, which comes into the souls of men. We also fight for the temple kingdom, and we fight physically. Wars, battles, skirmishes, and fights. Yes, we do. And I gave you some rules to let people know when we are, when Catholics are bound to fight and when they don't have to fight and when they even shouldn't fight. Okay, in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.
This recording was produced by Mary's Little Remnant, 302 East Joffrey Street, Truth or Consequences, New Mexico, 87901-2878, and can be accessed on my website at www.johnthebaptist.us.